deal with accountability. We've been hearing for the better part of the week this tragedy of a pensioner who was in wheelchair bound and assisted outside of the premises of the retirement home in which she was staying in order to have a cigarette. And I'm not even sure why was left to have the cigarette. It's such a quick exercise by the whichever staff member took her out there, and then forgotten outside overnight. And of course perished in the inclement weather that we saw that earlier on this week that preceded these heavy rains. This was in the Ceres area, and very cold there at night. We wanted to get a sense, because as I've mentioned, we mention a lot on the show, we speak quite a lot to retirement facilities. They have been able to step into the breach for so many of us, for our elderly and vulnerable and most beloved family members and friends, and in particular have had quite a difficult time over the past two and a half years during lockdown, when family wasn't able to be even a partner in the care for them as they tried to protect them from COVID-19. And it just, what we wanted to talk a little bit about the kind of protocols one should expect. Now, understandably, before I welcome our guest on, understandably, there's not much commentary that we're getting from the retirement home at which this lady perished, but we have gotten a statement that was released from ACVV regarding this incident. ACVV, obviously being the body that has oversight of this, saying the ACVV National Council and the governing body of ACVV Mordi Creel Home for Older Persons expressed their deepest condolences. They confirm that the home's governing board, head and staff are giving their full cooperation in support of the investigation. ACVV Mordi Creel Home for Older Persons has 89 residents and 60 staff members. It is supported by the community as well as the residents' families, and forms an integral part of the local community. Therefore, they request that the necessary support for the deceased's family, the community of Ceres, as well as the home's residents and staff during these difficult circumstances will be a priority. And pending the investigation and considering the resident and her family's privacy, further information will not be released to the media at this stage. And of course, it's for that reason that we're not speaking to them. But Niran Osman is kindly, with her insight, director of the IHATA Care Group, is kindly joining us today to give us some indication of what we should expect of that kind of treatment facility and the protocols that should be in place. Niran, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Lesbewe. I'm very good. How are you?
Good, good, and really grateful to speak to you. There's so many questions that arise when we think about this this terrible incident. You know, as I mentioned, why was the person left alone outside? Should a person always be near an elderly person who is wheelchair bound or potentially in frail care? And what kind of processes are undertaken at bedtime that nobody noticed she was gone?
I think there are multiple challenges that needs to be discussed. So, for example, we, as the IHATA Care Group, we're quite new in the elder care game. It's about 10 months now since we've taken over 3 homes from the CPOA. But there are very stringent norms and standards. And so my mind boggles a little bit because, for example, one of the things that the Department of Social Development, who funds our homes, dictates is that there needs to be a carer to patient ratio. And so I'm a little concerned about where that elder person's carer was at the time. We work both in victim empowerment and in elder person care, and I find elder person care to be very regimented. The rules are clear, the norms and standards are clear, the oversight is clear, so I can't be sure what went wrong.
Without unfairly trying to opine on this case in particular.
Yes.
Just what is the appropriate carer-patient ratio in elder care?
As far as I know, one carer to 8 elder persons is really important. But it also just means that through the day, there are various checks and balances for us that need to be in place.
What are some of those? I mean, sorry, are your IHATA homes where they're overnight, right? So people stay overnight.
Yes, they live with us full time.
Okay. Now, arguably, there are checks that include just, I suppose, physical presence checks, medical, eating, and as I say, bed and bath time. How would how would a day look in that 1-to-8 ratio?
So, for example, you know, our elder persons sit in a communal dining area. So once they've woken in the morning, obviously for the diabetics, they get an early morning snack just to keep things health-wise, keep things under control. And then there's bathing and cleaning and health and hygiene. And then they are escorted, and particularly wheelchair-bound, they're escorted to the dining area where, for example, they'll have their breakfast together. Whatever's on the menu, and some have special preferences and we accommodate them, and all of that is done. After breakfast, there are health checks, there's medication, and it goes through the day in terms of, I mean, the elder persons love meals. They look very forward to meals. And so a lot of the activity is facilitated outside of meal times. But at night, for example, once our elders like to go to bed quite early, by 6 o'clock, it's winter now, it's cold, so they get into bed. Those who want to go out for a smoke would be escorted by a carer and then escorted back in. And then every 2 hours, our night staff have to check on every resident. So you've got to check, are they asleep? Are they nervous? Are they unsettled? Are they having nightmares? Do they need anything? Has their blood sugar dropped?
Do they need the ablution facilities?
Do they need the bathroom? Oh. Absolutely. So for us at our facility, every 2 hours, our staff check, and the carer staff are overseen by a qualified nursing staff member.
When we speak about the 1-to-8 ratio, let's say, are people assigned at the start of a shift? Are you assigned a particular elderly person?
Yes.
Or are you, as a team, just kind of left to help where you can? So in other words, for this day or for this shift, I am looking after Nuran. In other words,
yes.
I'm, and every time I tick off the chart, bathed, eaten, meds, did some exercise, family member phoned, it's always me that's checking on Nuran for these 6 or 8 hours.
Yes. So, for example, at our facility, we have a duty roster. You know, our caring staff work for 3 months. They work on one specific shift. So for 3 months, they've got 8 elders that they have to look after. And so they know Rafilwe, Nuran, John, Paul, whoever is on their list, and they've got to make sure that person is clean, bathed, nails are trimmed, hair is done, is ready for church on a Sunday, is ready for a family visit, has received all of their medication. And there are checklists that they've got to tick and sign.
Which is great, not only for individual accountability as opposed to collective accountability, but also great because, you know, whether, you know, elderly, old age or dementia sets in, or just being comfortable with a familiar face, that I always see my person. If I'm one of the patients, I always see my carer, or this carer who knows my family members, you know, over a period of time. So in other words, if this is sort of the kind of standard, there is singular or individual accountability here.
Yes, there absolutely is. And so, for example, often I go to the floor and I want to check the elder persons, and I may see someone has long nails.
Mm.
I'm able to check the roster and call that carer and say, why has Mrs. So-and-so's nails not been done? And can you correct it immediately? And so the checks and balances have to be in place because, as you say, the elder persons love their carer.
Mm.
Many of them come without families. So, for example, the family member drops them off and we never see them again. And they convince themselves that that specific carer who takes care of them for 3 months at a time is their carer. It's their family member. She's obligated to love them and care for them and provide for them.
What do you say to people who either have family members or happen to be listening to us in a retirement facility? And we do have a large number of those listeners, and I don't know, need to have their confidence, you know, restored in the system.
I want to say that many of us who work in elder care are incredibly passionate about what we do. We do receive tremendous criticism. If I deal with 2 complaints a week, it'll be a nice week for me. And so we get criticized tremendously. We are caring for elder persons under very dire circumstances. There's very limited funding. And of course, when we seek external donor funding, it's quite challenging because, let's face it, donors like to fund children and happy projects. And elder care is not exactly a happy project. But I think it's around balance. It's that the facility has to take its responsibility, but then also the families have to take their responsibility. We are the ones caring for your elder persons, loving them, nurturing them each day. And often the critique makes it quite hard. But most importantly, I think, is it's really important that the family of the elder and the facility have some level of partnership around elder care. But I also do think, whilst I say we work with challenging financial circumstances, that's not an excuse. We've got to give our best because we are being funded. It is government money. One of the things I often say to my staff is, stop calling out corruption, government corruption. Let's look at how we can efficiently spend state resources in caring for the elderly in the best way that we can. My concern with issues of negligence is, there is no excuse, really, to say, for example, with my staff, I would be like, there is no excuse as to why an elder person's nails are not cut. If the nail trimmers are broken, come and ask me for another one. It's that sort of thing, this way. It's about mutuality and accountability.
And we appreciate that. Niran Osman, Director at the Heart.